Hello there and welcome back to our podcast. This is Empowerment Through Science and I am your host Thobekile Gambu, and today we're going to be going into the fascinating world of memory improvement. So this podcast episode is called Memory Mastery, Unleashing the Power of Your Mind. Have you ever wished you could remember things more easily? Whether it's important information for work or cherished moments with loved ones? Well, you're in luck. Join me as we uncover the science-backed strategies for enhancing memory and maximizing cognitive performance. In the first segment, we're going to understand what memory is. So, the fact that I remembered to record this podcast episode means that I've got memory. So we're going to delve into what the fundamentals of memory are. We're going to explore how our brains encode, store, and retrieve information. And we're also going to just look at different ways in which we can enhance our memory. So what is memory? Memory is the cognitive process by which information is encoded. So it's the way that information is encoded, stored in the brain, and retrieved in the brain. It is the ability to retrain and recall past experiences, knowledge, and skills. Memory plays a fundamental role in our daily lives, shaping our identity, guiding our behavior, and enabling learning and adaptation. Memory can be broadly categorized into three main types, and that is sensory memory, it's short-term memory, and it's long-term memory. So sensory memory is the initial stage of memory processing that briefly holds incoming sensory information from our environment. It provides a brief buffer for sensory stimuli before either being discarded or transferred to short memory. So sensory memory is specific to each sensory modality, such as visual, auditory, and tactical. So what is short-term memory? Short-term memory, also known as working memory, is the temporary storage system responsible for holding and manipulating information for a short period. So if you need to remember something within a short period of time, it is generally called short-term memory, typically ranging from a few seconds to several minutes. This kind of memory enables us to maintain information in consciousness while performing cognitive tasks such as problem solving, decision making, and comprehension. So this memory capacity varies among individuals and can be influenced by factors such as attention, rehearsal, and organization. Long-term memory is the permanent storage system that holds information over an extended period, potentially for a lifetime. For example, when you grow much older than you are now, you're going to have memory that refers you back to your childhood or to your teenage years, which will then be called a long-term memory. It's a permanent storage system that holds information over extended periods. Memory formation and retrieval involve complex neural processes, including synaptic plasticity, neurotransmitter release, and neural network activation. These are just terms that I used when we refer to the neural processes that are involved in memory formation. These processes occur in specific brain regions such as the hippocampus, amygdala, and various other cortical and subcortical structures. Our brains encode, store, and retrieve information through a complex network of neurons, and this forms the memory system. So, when we refer to encoding refers to the process of converting sensory input into a form that can be stored in memory. When we experience something new, such as reading a book or meeting someone for the first time, our brains encode the information by forming connections between neurons in specific brain regions associated with that experience. Different types of encoding mechanisms include visual, auditory, and procedural coding, depending on the nature of information that is being processed. and then we get to storage. Once information is encoded, means put in the form that can be stored in memory, it is then stored. This is the memory, the information is stored in various regions of the brain for later retrieval. The brain storage system consists of different types of memory stores, including sensory memory, short-term memory, and long-term memory. So sensory memory briefly holds incoming sensory information before it is discarded and transferred. I mentioned that. And short-term memory, also known as working memory, stores information temporarily for immediate use. And then long-term memory, we mentioned, it stores information for extended periods. So once information is encoded, it is stored, it is then later retrieved. And that's how the term memory actually comes through, the fact that you can retrieve information that you've stored. So the retrieval process of retrieval is the process of accessing and bringing stored information back into consciousness when needed. So retrieval cues such as sights, sounds, smells, or contexts can trigger the activation of specific neural pathways associated with the stored memory, leading to its retrieval. So anything can trigger you. I can get to a shopping mall and remember that, okay, I actually need to get cosmetics, just from that trigger. And it's unfortunate that some instances can actually trigger memory that is traumatic to us. Some sort of trauma that we would have come across can be triggered by anything within our environment. So throughout this process, then synaptic plasticity plays a role, because this refers to the ability of the connections between the neurons to actually strengthen or weaken over time in response to activity. So now that we understand what memory is, I'd like us to look at some of the ways we can actually improve memory retention. And this is called mnemonics. It's spelled M-N-E-M-O-N-I-C-S, in case I'm spelling it incorrectly. But I'd like us to explore what are some of the ways we can actually retain our memory. So from memory palaces to acronyms and visualization techniques, we uncover the science behind these devices and how they can actually help us to remember information. And this is important, especially when children learn to read, when children learn numbers, things, tools like visualizations become important. And diagrams, the things that you see, become important. So these tools actually enhance memory retention, and they work by leveraging our brain's natural ability to remember vivid imagery and associations. So let us dive into some of the popular techniques that are available for memory retention. So it's memory palaces. This technique involves mentally associating pieces of information with specific locations in a familiar building or space. By visualizing yourself walking through this space and encountering the information at each location, you create a vivid mental map that makes it easier to recall the information later. So if I go into the building that I work at, when I get into reception, I see a specific things. I see the security guard there. I see the receptionist. I see the vending machine. And that memory then almost rushes back. So I'm actually able to remember where my office is. I'm able to remember where the kitchen is by this that's called memory palaces. So that is actually some sort of visualization that assists us remember things within buildings, within malls, to remember where the machine is, where you pay for your ticket, you know, to remember where you've parked your car. So that is the kind of technique that helps us remember those kinds of things. And then there are what are called acronyms. Acronyms involve creating a word or a phrase where each letter represents the first letter of a word you want to remember. For example, a lot of us studied the term Rojbev. So this is an acronym for the colors of the rainbow, which are red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, and violet. And this is what we can also use to remember difficult words and difficult terms. And there's something else that also that is also called a technique that is called acrostics, similar to acronyms. This involves creating a phrase where the first letter of each word corresponds with the information you want to remember. For example, every good boy does fine. So that is used to remember EGBDF, which is the treble clef in music, for example. So that is also a technique that is largely used to retain memory or to remember things. And visualization, which is my absolute favorite. This technique involves creating vivid mental images that represent the information you want to remember. The more outrageous or memorable the image, the easier it is to recall. For example, to remember a grocery list, you might visualize a giant carrot driving a shopping cart down the aisle of a supermarket. So that is actually going to remind you that actually I need to get a packet of carrots. Another technique is chunking. Chunking involves breaking down large amounts of information into smaller, and I use this quite a lot, so more manageable chunks. By organizing information into meaningful groups, it becomes easier to remember. For example, if you want to remember a number, a cell phone number, sometimes it's easier to break it down into, because in South Africa, our cell phone number has 10 digits. So sometimes it can be easier to break down the number into 3, 3, and 4. So it makes it easier for you to remember that number. If the number has a total of 9 digits, you can break it down into 3, 3, 3. So that is called chunking. There's also what is referred to as rhymes and songs. This is where you can create rhymes or songs with the information you want to remember. We can make it easier to recall. So this makes it easier to recall the information. Our brains are naturally drawn to patterns or rhythms, making this technique particularly effective. So you can think of how you've learned the alphabets. You know, when we learned the alphabets, we were like A, B, C, D, E, F, G, so and so on, so and so on. So that is a way of remembering alphabets through rhythm and chunking. Okay, so we've looked at what memory is and the three types of memory, and then we've looked at some techniques that can be used to actually retain or can be used to improve memory retention. So now I want us to look at some of our lifestyle choices that have significant impact on our memory. So this basically means that the way we live impacts the our memory and how easily we're able to remember things or how easily we forget stuff. So our choices have a significant impact on our memory and cognitive function. And in the segment, I want to discuss the importance of things like sleep, exercise, nutrition, and stress management in optimizing brain health and memory performance. So, lifestyle choices play a crucial role. You need to remember that, and in optimizing our brain health. And we're going to just look at each factor. So, we're going to start with sleep. Adequate sleep is essential for cognitive function, including memory consolidation and recall. So during sleep, the brain processes and consolidates memories from the day. Research has shown that sleep deprivation can impair various cognitive functions, including attention, decision-making, and memory. So if we aim for between 7 to 9 hours of quality sleep each night, we can support optimal brain health. So if we're able to get a good amount of sleep, then we'll find that our memory improves. Another factor is exercise. Regular physical activity has been linked to numerous cognitive benefits, including improved memory, attention, and executive function. Exercise increases blood flow to the brain, and it promotes the release of neurotransmitters like dopamine, and this stimulates the production of brain-derived neurotrophic factor. And these support the growth of neurons that are actually used during the coding and storage and retrieval of memory. So exercise, therefore, plays a huge role in improving our memory because it keeps the brain in a healthy state. And nutrition. So I actually never thought that nutrition plays such a role, but a balanced diet rich in nutrients is essential for brain health and memory performance. Certain nutrients like omega-3 fatty acids, antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals play key roles in supporting cognitive function and also reduces the risk of cognitive decline. So these kinds of foods are very beneficial for brain health. And then with stress management, chronic stress can have detrimental effects on the brain, which can impair memory and cognitive function. So high levels of stress hormones like cortisol can damage brain cells and interfere with neurotransmitter balance. So techniques such as mindful meditation, deep breathing exercises, yoga, and muscle relaxation exercises can help reduce stress and then promote mental well-being, and then that can also result in improved memory retention. So scientific research consistently demonstrates the profound impact of these lifestyle factors. So if you can get enough sleep, you can exercise, and you can actually reduce your stress levels, then you'll find that your memory will also improve. Now, I want us to look at some training and brain games that you can actually play or use to help you improve your memory. So I also want us to explore the benefits of cognitive training and these games and see how these can actually help us to stimulate our memory and enhance our memory abilities. Cognitive training and brain games have garnered significant attention for their potential to improve memory and cognitive function. And these activities involve various tasks designed to challenge and stimulate different abilities, such as memory, attention, problem solving, and reasoning. So I want us to look at some of the benefits and methods associated with cognitive training and brain games. So if we want to look at memory-specific brain games, these actually can enhance your short-term memory. So we did speak about the fact that short-term memory is when your brain receives information and actually works at bringing back that information to your mind so that you can remember it within a short-term and long-term memory functions, where you're able to remember things after a lifetime of living. So these games often involve tasks like memorizing sequences, patterns, or lists of items, and these can help you to improve your memory retention and recall. So also, if you want to also enhance your attention, a lot of training exercises that are out there focus on improving attention and concentration. And by regularly practicing tasks that require sustained focus, individuals can strengthen their ability to concentrate for longer periods and reduce distractions. A big one, problem-solving skills. So these often include puzzles. The different games include puzzles, challenges that require problem solving. And these activities can help individuals or yourself develop strategies for analyzing problems, identifying patterns, and actually finding solutions So that also helps with your memory. And another thing that, these games help with is processing speed. So some of these training programs aim to enhance processing speed, which refers to how quickly you can actually perceive and respond to information. So that is really important. Many cognitive programs emphasize the transfer of skills to real-world solutions. So, for example, improving memory and attention through brain games can lead to better performance in academic or professional settings. So if you're able to enhance your brain and your memory, you can do well in real life, and you can do well in academia or within a professional setting. So some of these different games as well help with accessibility. With the proliferation of online apps and digital platforms, cognitive training programs have become more accessible than ever before. So some of these apps that have some of these games that make you think and make you develop, draw patterns or think of patterns, can help you actually improve your brain in that you can access information quite quickly from your mind. So those are actually some of the benefits of cognitive training and brain games, in that it improves memory, it enhances attention, it helps with problem solving skills. If you engage in more problem solving kind of games and activities, you can improve your memory as well and your brain function. And also just in processing speed. So some of these tasks can help you actually process information quite quickly in your mind, and also easily access that information. So engaging in regular cognitive training and brain games can have long-lasting benefits for brain health and cognitive function. So as we try to wrap up now, I'd like us to just reflect on some key takeaways that we learned about during this this episode. We learned that there are different kinds of memory. There's sensory memory, there's short-term memory, and there's long-term memory. We also learned that the brain encodes and it stores and retrieves information, and that is what actually memory accounts to or becomes. And we learned about the different techniques of how we can improve our memory retention, and those include memory palaces, acronyms, acrostatics, visualizations, chunking, rhymes and songs. And then we also learned some of the lifestyle factors that can either improve your brain or memory function or deteriorate it. And then we also looked at how cognitive training and brain games can actually improve your memory retention and recall. And as we wrap up, I want us to just look at some random facts actually about memory and just what memory is not. So memory is not like a video recorder. So it's contrary to popular belief, memory is not an exact replica of past events. Instead, memories are reconstructed each time we recall them, and they can be influenced by various factors such as emotions, biases, and external suggestions. And also, the brain's capacity of memory is vast. So the human brain has an incredible capacity for sorting memories. While it's difficult to quantify precisely, some estimates suggest that the brain storage capacity could be equivalent to hundreds of terabytes of data or even more. Memory is essential for our identity. So our memories play a crucial role in shaping our sense of self and identity. So some of the things that you remember from your childhood would now shape your identity or what you think of yourself. And they contribute to our personal narratives of ourselves and how we make sense of the world around us. So emotions can enhance memory as well. We did touch on that. Emotionally charged events are often remembered more vividly than neutral ones. For example, your wedding day, you would remember more clearly than maybe a lecture or a random lecture. So emotions can enhance memory. And memory changes with age. Quite importantly, as we age, various factors such as changes in the brain structure, neurotransmitter levels, and blood flow can affect our memory function. So while some aspects of memory may decline with age, sometimes older people tend to forget things more quicker. Other types of memory, such as semantic memory, the general knowledge, actually remain relatively stable. So those are some just random facts about memory. So as I close this episode, I hope that you enjoyed the discussion. Thank you so much for joining me on this journey through science of memory improvement. And remember, our memories are a really precious gift. Without our memories, I wouldn't remember where whether I have a husband, whether I have kids. I wouldn't remember my job. I wouldn't remember my passions. I wouldn't remember some of the things that I enjoy doing, and how I actually experience the world would not actually happen. So by understanding the science behind memory and implementing effective strategies, we can unleash the full potential of our minds and create lasting memories that enrich our lives. So this has been a really exciting episode for me, and I'm your host, Thobekile Kambu, and I'm signing off. And until next time, keep exploring, keep learning, and keep unlocking the power of your mind. Thank you very much.
Empowerment Podcast. Inspire, equip, and empower.